Here's a Sun King Studio 92 exclusive on demand from 92.3 WTTS.
Guys, thanks for coming. Welcome to the weekend, and welcome to Studio 92. I'm Brad with TTS, and G-Love is here tonight. And we're thrilled to have him. Kind of a different Studio 92 in that we're gonna go for a bit here. He's gonna play a nice set for us, and then we're gonna play the rest of the album. And at that point, you can take photos with G-Love, get stuff signed if you brought CDs, mix and mingle, and we'll hang out afterwards, mixing and mingling. And then have some drinks, and then we can get the weekend going. So let's welcome to Studio 92, G-Love. And we'll ask a couple questions first about this new album, which I was just told by our good friend Nick is at the top of the rock charts on iTunes right now. Is that what you told me?
Number one, baby.
Number one on the rock charts.
Thanks.
Number one on the rock charts. And what we've been talking about a lot is some of our favorite guys, Avett Brothers. They produced this.
Yeah.
How did that all come together, and what was the process like?
Well, I had got a chance to meet Scott and Seth. And the whole band, when they were out in California, I was actually out working on my new record, Superhero Brother, well, my last record, and they were out shopping a record deal for their record, which ended up being I and Loving You, and they ended up signing with Rick Rubin, which was pretty amazing. And but then a couple months went by, and I saw them again at the House of Blues in Boston and just really dug their performance, so... And a couple more months went by. If you want to hear a story from me, you're going to have to wait around for a little while. a couple more months went by, and we played at the Summer Camp Festival, which is in Wisconsin. And we jammed out, and then a couple more weeks went by, and they asked them to do the record. And so they said, yeah, and then we picked out about 16 tunes and went in the studio for about 9 days in Asheville, North Carolina, and really had an amazing session.
That's awesome. That's a great place to... That's their hometown, essentially, so probably a good place to record and hang. And the festival scene, a lot of those in your future this year, is that a fun thing? What's the difference for you as a performer doing a festival or a standalone show?
Well, you know, like playing playing a festival is always a really unique experience because there's a lot on the line. I always feel like we have a saying that goes, festival rules, you know? That's what we say. That's what me and my drummer say to each other, which means... You know, when you play like a regular of your own show, you have, you know, your own crowd that's just there to see you because they know the material and you know, they want to be there. And a festival gives you the opportunity to play for some people that maybe you haven't played for in a long time, people that have heard of you but never seen you play, or just people that have no idea who you are. And so you really want to bring your A game. And on top of that, you have a more condensed set. You know, our regular set for us will usually be, you know, 75 minutes to 2 hours. And at a festival, you know, you're going to have 40 minutes to an hour usually. So you really got to make sure that you pull out all your tricks in that amount of time and just put on a hell of a show. And then the other unique thing for bands is that you get to see, you get to listen to and meet up with, you know, your peers, people that are out on the road doing the same thing that you do. And that's actually been a really unique thing. You know, the festival scene kind of started in America with Woodstock, you know. But it quickly deteriorated, and I actually had the opportunity to play in Woodstock 99, which was, you know, I'm sure you guys remember, it was a complete disaster. And I remember why, because it was 150,000 kids, and they all came out there, and there was not a water fountain in sight, and bottles of water, like a small bottle of water, was like $5, and you know these kids couldn't afford to drink water, so I think that's a big part of why they got pretty pretty angry and burned the whole place down. You know?
So Bonnaroo's doing it better then.
Yeah. Well, so then a couple of years later, you know, Bonnaroo was a huge success, and then along the line, you know, Lollapalooza and Austin City Limits, and now there's so many festivals popping up, and it's really led to a real community of musicians. You know, that's how I've gotten to do most of the collaborations I've done with anybody from, you know, the Avett Brothers to Ozo Motley and Ben Harper and, you know, a lot of the people that I've been able to record with and tour with, we've, you know, we met on the, on at a festival and connected there. So it's really been a nice thing for us musicians.
Any questions for Gila? You taking any questions? Todd Berryman's here from Over Easy. Todd, you have lots of great questions usually because you're a huge Gila fan. So what do you have for me? I'm putting you on the spot.
Was it kind of what was it like recording in an old church in Echo Mountain?
Yeah,
because normally you've, I assume, recorded in more straightforward studios. To sort of have one that's got that huge arch ceiling and that feel to it, what was the difference for you for that?
Yeah, we recorded down in Asheville in a place called Echo Mountain Recording Studio, which is an old converted church, and it's just, you know, if you ever, you know, you walk into a church or any kind of temple, and you always have that, like, that cool, airy feeling, and then the lights filtering through the stained glass, and, you know, the minute I walked in the studio, I really did feel like something real special is going to happen this week, and you know, it was beautiful, you know, especially in this day and age, everybody has their home studio, so, and that's including us, so we've ended up making, you know, a bunch of our more recent records in the last decade in a smaller kind of home setup, you know, and it was just really a privilege to get back and do a real studio. And that also led to, you know, we had a shorter amount of time. So when we're at our own home studio, we, you know, you have the luxury of not paying for studio time. And, you know, that can be a good thing, but it also can be a bad thing because you can just take too long to make the record. And you can start, a lot of times the best thing about music is the mistakes. But when you start listening to the mistakes over and over again, you just want to take them out. And with this record, I said we had 9 days was just enough to do all the work, but not enough time to mess it up.
Well, why don't we hear some music now? This is going to be a fun set. Feel free to dance, but keep the aisle clear. We are filming this, so dance in a very contained area if you don't mind. Ladies and gentlemen, in WTTS Studio 92, once again, G-Love.
Thank you.